In my last video, I told you how adults are my problem, and I have to get them to take me seriously, which means I have to consistently remind people to take me seriously. I have to set up boundaries. If people do not use the correct pronouns, the correct language, the correct title, the correct name, then sometimes I am forced to remind them to. And if they continue to refuse, and I don't mean by accident, I mean to actively refuse, then I get to a point where I maybe have to cut them out of my life. Kids, their brains are more elastic than that. They get it, they don't care. They're just here for a good time. And the queer ones, they see me. And they saw me before I was ready to be seen. So I do them a service now, and they call me Mix.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's not America and a weekday if we're not preying on children and trying to exploit them by literally admitting that your made-up make-believe reality is not well accepted by adults. Probably, mostly primarily, because adults should be thinking well unless they've had 7 shots of vodka, which then you'll make a lot of mistakes. But of course, nobody acts more like a drunk adult than toddlers, in which this woman is saying that literally kids understand her make-believe more than adults and accept her reality. So she wants to push it on them so she can live like a child. We have some insane things we're talking about today, because in this world, they are trying to literally kill us. They want to break us down in our brains. They want to destroy our families. They want to remove our health, our wealth, our prosperity, and our independence. Why? Because like the woman said, they want us to be like children. With nothing that we own, no ability to control our own actions, we have low impulse control, and they want to make us in a place where we will accept anything that they give us, literally anything. Nobody that I know knows more about the most ridiculous things that are happening in this country than visionary rapper and artist and commentator Anomaly. Welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Do you get some confetti of color? Do we get some? Boom, boom. Yeah, there you go. Have you ever had that before?
The confetti of color? Nice.
It's 8K
I always
graphics.
Wanted a party. Nobody celebrated my birthday this year. I was going to break down in tears, but now, you know, I'm getting flashbacks to when I was like 9. You know, I wanted a stuffed animal penguin. Let's not bore your audience. Thanks for having me, Elijah. Appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Anomaly, from the entire audience. And of course, in the studio, Aldo Tate, Andrew Tate's younger brother. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
How's it going, Elijah? Good to be here. Just flew in from Romania. Making a lot of money in my sleep. I got 14 supercars, 17 mansions. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's well, actually, it's Aldo Bozzoni, assistant managing editor for Next News Network. Welcome back from your travels. We're glad to have you here. How was your trip?
Oh, dude, it's good to be home. I've been on the road for like 3.5 weeks now. Been missing Texas, been missing the weather, just been missing my home. So good to be back.
On that note, I'm going through puberty. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color in 8K graphics. And I want to remind you that apparently the phrase confetti of color, which is abbreviated COC, has been banned in several homes of people who watch the show because their teenage boys kept asking their moms and stuff like, oh, you like COC in your face? And then they were like, okay, you got to stop. Stop doing that to your moms. But we also have literally 4D graphics in the studio. We're going to pop that.
Oh, woo!
Yeah, we always have a party when we start the show. It's nice when it rains down on us. Before we jump into the story, I got to tell you guys something important. Obviously, you know, with all the insanity that we're talking about with Anomaly and Aldo, you need to be prepared for what is going to happen next. And one of the biggest issues I've seen currently is food supply. Supply chain issues are going to continue. There's going to be problems with inflation. And yes, the Inflation Reduction Act doesn't reduce or help anything. It's going to make things worse. Just recently, Business Insider actually said that we're in a global food crisis that will wreak havoc on local economies and trigger civil unrest. Are you surprised? Well, things are looking worse every day, and that's why it's crucial for you to visit this website, preparewithelijah.com. That's PrepareWithElijah.com. You'll find a specific offer from our friends at My Patriot Supply where you can save $250 on a 3-month emergency food kit. This is food your family will need when the shortages get a lot worse. Experts recommend having adequate emergency food, so be sure to get one of these three-month kits for each member of your family. It's absolutely vital that you do not wait until there's no food. Have your preparation. You'll love the delicious meals that give you more than 2,000 calories a day for sustainable energy. And best of all, you get to save $250 on each kit when you go to preparewithelijah.com. That's preparewithelijah.com, P-R-E-P-A-R-E-W-I-T-H-E-L-I-J-A-H. Don't wait to see things get worse. By the time you react, it could be too late, and it probably will. Preparewithelijah.com. That's preparewithelijah.com. Anomaly, I want to jump over to you right now. It is pretty crazy how, I think, because you've been in this for a long time, if people don't know, Anomaly's kind of been all over the map in terms of commentating, calling things out beforehand. It's like a mixture of Joe Rogan, Alex Jones, Glenn Beck, and also like Tupac. You can put them all together. It's just this like person that sees world holistically. And it is pretty crazy being from, you know, from being all over and going through the years, how quickly we went from, hey, we want more rights, we want Trump out of office, to let's sexualize your children, let's groom your kids, and also let's take our mental illness and our delusions to kids. Like, they're just admitting it now. And I don't know if you're shocked, but to me, the rapid pace that this happened is not exactly what I expected.
I was still laughing in my head about your intro of Alex Jones meets Glenn Beck meets, what was the other one, meets Tupac. It's funny because I appreciate it, but I could see like a New York Times op-ed saying that too and being like, Alex Jones meets Glenn. It's just pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, things are definitely ramping up. I think, you know, to not play the victim, I think the West has gotten too lazy and too complacent, you know, picket fences. You know, we had Family Matters, which was nice, Steve Urkel. We had obviously Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen and, you know, Bob Saget before he took the vaccine, and things were good in the 90s. You know, people were feeling good. And I think people just got a little complacent and they didn't see, you know, the devil, for lack of a better term, sneaking up. And now it's all hitting and people are wondering what's going on. And yeah, that clip was very alarming that you played, you know, just being like, oh yeah, you know, the adults don't understand, but the kids understand. And it's like, you know, I don't know if that's the right strategy to, you know, identify that gay kids make you feel better when these kids, you know, would probably think they were a Power Ranger if you told them that they were. So probably not the play.
This, you know, it's true. Kids who just learned how to wipe, like if you've learned how to wipe in the last 4 years, you're probably not going to come to you for like mental health reaffirmation. And it is crazy to me though, Aldo, that I have watched this, that adults are just admitting that A, our ideas have gone so far down the rabbit hole. And like you said, Anomaly, what I only group those people together, but the people you were missing was Joe Rogan and Tupac, meaning like the point is that we are coming together into a point where there is this holistic growth where it doesn't matter if you're left or you're right anymore. It's about whether you're a free thinker or you're not, and whether or not you're going to protect children, because our war and our fight has actually been so successful. We've woken enough adults up, and all these people in their own ways, you know, whether it was through conspiracies or through talking to, you know, deep riveting conversations. And that's my whole point is like, well, Alex Jones used to be the conspiracy theorist, and Joe Rogan is now a conspiracy theorist just because he's not a doctor, you know, even though he's reading actual studies. They've blurred the lines, and now they're going, okay, now we're coming for children, literally. And they know that the only target group left, the only people that are still available to receive their indoctrination, is the most vulnerable, and they're not even hiding it.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is kind of an example of, you know, the inmates running the prison nowadays, that, you know, you have these adults, these teachers, these people telling us that kids can make the decision, kids' ideas of what is right and wrong should be taken seriously. But we know that that's not, you know, effective, and that's not going to produce good results. You know, I used to play in the mud as a kid when I was 3, 4, and 5, but my mom didn't call me a pig and send me to the slaughterhouse. You know, she realized I was a kid doing what kids do, but we shouldn't be giving into this and letting kids run the show. And you're absolutely right. They are indoctrinating our kids. They're trying to twist their minds. They're very impressionable. The thing about childhood, Elijah, is that every kid has a normal childhood because there's no frame of reference and everything is relative. And so when you tell a kid that growing up that they are a girl, they are a boy when they're not, they will think that that's normal. But that's why as adults, we need to step in, the people that know what's right, we need to do, you know, fight for it and fight for our kids. And, you know, in California, just last week, we saw a new curriculum coming out that in their sex ed classes at a baseline from, you know, their first time talking about sex ed in elementary school and middle school, they are telling kids that there are genders that are, you know, non-binary, that you can be a boy and girl if that's not your biological sex. So these are things that, you know, they're telling kids that have no frame of reference, and that they will believe. And it's really broken down the relationship between parent and child, which is sacred. And it's completely disregarded that. And so now when you send your kids off to school, you have to wonder if they're being indoctrinated, if they're, you know, being pushed these ideas by these woke teachers. And it's sad. You know, how do we go from teaching math, science, and history to teaching your kids how to have oral sex?
Well, this is why. Anomaly, I don't know if you probably saw this. So if you guys are not familiar with the Human Rights Campaign, you actually go to my screen. He'll bring up the tweet later. But so did you see this, Anomaly, this digital portfolio for the Human Rights Campaign? And there, as the British group is saying that they have located the biggest and most voice or vocal people who are speaking out against the grooming of children, the sexualization of children, etc. And they've created a comprehensive list. And instead of praising them, I thought this was going to be an award book that was going to praise people. Like, this is how, like, I mean, they really put their time into this, right? Center for Combating Hate. I mean, this is a very long document. They actually, their idea is that anybody who's speaking out against sexualizing children, they've connected that to speaking out against the gay community. To, if I was gay, that I would be very offended by that because they're sort of making this saying it's sort of a sexuality or it's part of their community. And they want Twitter and social media companies to actually ban these people legitimately for saying things like okay groomer. And if you see this right here, if you go to my screen, they're even mentioning Blaze hosts here like Sarah Gonzalez saying okay groomer. We know James Lindsay got banned. They have this entire chart of like when people said groomer, right? You have like Jack Posobiec gets Disney groomers on a shirt. And you have like Libs of TikTok is mentioned in there. And you go down even further and they made a list. And they said, hey, we're not alarmed that people are sexualizing kids. We're not alarmed that people are targeting children. What we're alarmed by is that this, for our blind viewers who are listening, reminding you this is an audio-only podcast. You can get it on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you can get audio, and you can listen. So I'm going to read this list to you. They mentioned Marjorie Taylor Greene, James Lindsay, Lauren Boebert. You probably recognize those people. Marjorie, they already got deleted. James Lindsay, they got deleted. Chaya Rashik, that's Libs of TikTok. Tim Young, Christina Pushaw, Frank Drew Hernandez, also known as our boy Drew. Chad Prather from Blaze, Jack Posobiec. And Matt's Ideas Shop. And they are saying the cure to trying to normalize sexuality is to silence anyone who disagrees with it. I don't know what you think about this, Anomaly, because to me, I'm not shocked that they're going this far, but it's crazy that they're not only going after the kids, they're saying, if you're against us, we are going to start lobbying tech to silence you. And we've seen this over the years. Like, it's not enough that we have our own ideas, it's that you're not allowed to have yours.
Right. The left is really good at hiding behind social justice, right? Whether it be LGBT, BLM, public health during the pandemic, and basically putting their authoritarian slash, you know, communist style agenda behind the social justice. So then when you fight back, it's not just, oh, you disagree with my ideas and lockdowns. It's, oh, you're going to hurt millions of people. You're going to hurt us. You're going to exploit this group. So they're really, really good at that. And I think the right's not good at countering it. And I think you nailed it earlier when you talked about these vulnerable groups that they kind of exploit. If you look at the pandemic and the forced masking, right now there's still millions of workers that are forced masked. You know, I've worked hard, I'm independent. I don't have to because I have the resources to not have to work a 9-to-5 right now for a company that I can't get out of. But those are the people that they're exploiting. So I'm a patron, I have money, I come in and buy something. They don't make me wear a mask because they want my money, but they're treating these workers like garbage because they can exploit the working class because they have nowhere to go. A lot of these immigrants that don't even speak English that they claim to care so much about, these are the people stuck with the mandates and the forced masking. Meanwhile, it's the wealthy people and the elites who don't have to wear it because they're the patron. What's the science of a worker wearing a mask on a cruise but not a patron? The science is they're exploiting the working class. They claim to help them. They're so tyrannical. They're so evil. And of course, they prey on women and kids because, you know, a woman without a good father figure or without a good boyfriend in their life is easier to exploit in the same way as they're easier to jump on the street because they're physically more vulnerable than a man. And obviously, we don't have to talk about how moldable a child is. So, you know, they hide all of their evil behind social justice, behind helping kids and stuff. But really, they're just exploiting. And, Merrick Garland showed on television on a big scale that if you question him, they're not looking to be better. They're not looking to be challenged. They just want you to trust these communities and their agencies. And they don't have to do anything about it. Rochelle Walensky, they don't have to get better, admit they made mistakes. It's like big government on a macro scale. Do not question the big government sucking up your whole life. And on a micro scale, it's don't question my sexuality, environment agenda. And they've become very intellectually lazy and very evil. And I just pray that people wake up to what they're doing, because they're hurting a lot of people.
Right. And I want to play this. This is why, because I was listening to a podcast from Lex Fridman that was talking about how, you know, social media has even been used to engineer society, because, for instance, like gay children would be more isolated, or people who question their sexuality. But not only when they initially thought, oh, this is going to be good, now other gay kids can meet other gay kids and they're not going to get bullied, they can find some validation. It's actually turned into sort of this movement where, like, homosexuality, or, you know, exploring your sexuality outside of heterosexual norms is like becoming an agenda where people are sharing it and sort of passing it through the internet and saying, like, people that you would never meet, because just like people commit hate crimes, the Buffalo shooter, the white supremacist guy that allegedly, he didn't get any of his ideas, he said, from people he met in person. He got his ideas all from people that he was met online. And it's so funny that they're so quick to want to censor, right, anything about white nationalism or white supremacy, because they're like, well, you don't meet a ton of white supremacists in their day-to-day life, or you don't know they are, because there's more stigma and more shame associated with your day-to-day. But on the internet, you can get and interact with, you know, anonymous accounts or trolls or whatever, and then you can get ideas you would never get in reality. Well, it's so funny they admit that, about white supremacy, but then what about other agendas like sex and stuff? I mean, that's the same thing. A kid might not just have an adult molest them or kidnap them or something horrible like that happen, but they can meet an adult online who's going to then, you know, intimidate and tell them this, that they have a sexuality while they're 8 years old. And that's so, so dangerous. And the agenda of tech companies is extremely misguided, because they say that they only get about 5 to 10%. They only enforce about 5 to 10% of their anti-hate speech laws for protected classes like the gay community. Do you know how much content they get down for violence and intimidation? Only 1%. They focus all their attention on moderating and protecting the gay community, but not protecting, like, physical lives and actually protecting the real body. So they're like, they put more emphasis on that. I have this video here of this person who even explains that they need this validation from an 8-year-old. Let's go to play video one.
I'm, like, very out at work. At least at my teaching job, I'm very out. I wear my pronouns and stuff. And I'm like, I, like, correct the kids, and the kids have gotten to, like, correcting each other. And it was, like, so awesome today. I was in charge of our, like, active activity, and one of the kids referred to me as a girl, and one of my kids was like, Jamie doesn't have a gender. Jamie's not a girl. Oh my God. And, like, the kid was just like, what do you mean? And she was just like, Jamie doesn't have a gender. Jamie is not a girl.
I like the way that, like, the way that has me is so emotional. Like, she, like, even, like said the pronouns to him. Oh my God. She was like, Jamie's they. She's 8. My 52-year-old parents still call me she after being out for 3 years. And I, like, just told the, like, really, like, started correcting the kids back in, like, September. Like, that was, like, so awesome. That was just, like, so awesome. Like, I've, like, never felt more loved than, like, when I am with my kids. Like, they, like, correct each other.
So I love that the initial response from kids, and you'll see this on a lot of TikToks for a lot of kids that, you know, they'll say, well, I'm non-binary. I don't have a gender. And the immediate response from kids that don't know any better, that are just in their natural state, will always, always respond with, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's weird. Because they're right. Their brains are untainted. They are just in their natural state. And every single time, if it's the first time they're hearing of these non-binary, all these new genders, they reject it. They know inherently as kids that it's wrong, that it's weird, that it is not natural. And, you know, all of this stuff is, you know, it's a reflection of the infantilization of our society, right? Why do you need to go around being affirmed by an 8-year-old, right? Are you an adult, or are you still a kid that needs that affirmation? But I think, you know, this is a result, all of this, whether it's the forced masking that Anomaly was talking about, forced vaccinations, this gender affirmations, it's all downstream from this new idea of tolerance that we've been fed and that we've been lied to about, that opposition to anything is inherently bigoted or hateful. And it serves the purpose of intimidating people from not standing against things, right? Like this idea of grooming, right? The idea of grooming is that it is bad and I am going to stand against it and I am going to call it out. But they want to intimidate you and say, well, that's intolerance of gay people. That's intolerance of people that don't think like you. Yeah, I am intolerant of that. I'm intolerant of murder. I'm intolerant of white supremacy. I'm intolerant of grooming. But like you just said, Elijah, there's an agenda that's being pushed on us that it's, you can be intolerant of some things, but some things you're not, you know, you're not able to be intolerant of. And that's why I always say to these people that have this twisted idea of it is that, you know, the opposite of tolerance is not intolerance, it's conviction. And when you have conviction towards something, when you know something is right and wrong and you stand against it, these people will come after you and they'll call you intolerant, bigoted, hateful, whatever it is. And that's why we need to realize that intolerance doesn't mean crap anymore. It's just a tactic used to intimidate you for standing up for what is right.
Yeah, it is crazy though. Anomaly, I don't know if you saw this. Andy Ngo, I think he's the managing editor or the primary editor for the Post Millennial, was bringing this up. Like, these people want validation for ideas. And I like that the teacher used the phrase, I corrected my kids, right? Correction is this idea that you are taking something that's wrong and you are making it right. And that's what these teachers feel like, that they're like, they're changing the wrong way a kid is, which means in their nature and their innocence or in the way they were raised. But these people haven't gotten it all right. In fact, UK's largest transgender clinic is expected to be sued by hundreds of families whose vulnerable children were allegedly misdiagnosed and medically transitioned. The Tavistock Clinic in London was ordered to be closed by spring following damning investigation. And misdiagnosed, yeah, there's not. It's not like there's a gender identity disorder is contagious. It's not like there's a pandemic of transgenderism. This is a very socioeconomic and regio-specific problem that it's like, you, why are kids in Ohio much more likely to believe in being transgender or they're all gay versus somebody in the middle of Nebraska? Why is it that kids in the big city in Nebraska are more gay than in the rural? It's because it's not that there aren't people that are gay or people that have alternative lifestyles or choose to live different ways as they grow older. It's that this is being packaged as the alternate form. This is the way to live. And I mean, this is dangerous. This is a children's, this is a clinic, and this is, they are getting sued. This is hundreds of families. These are generations. These are lives that cannot be changed back. And Anomaly, I don't know if that surprises you. I feel like there could be some pushback. I don't know if we're going to look back in 10 years and go, wow, maybe 50 years. Like, what was that period of time where we tried to turn everybody gay and everybody trans? Basic reproduction, right, would say that's probably not a good idea.
There's definitely going to be some pushback. And even watching that video of that, you know, person who identifies as non-binary, it's just really sad because hurt people and lost people mislead people, right? So a lot of these people, I don't think they're doing it to be evil. They've been misled. And I see it a little bit differently. While I think conservatives should call it out, I think the libs of TikTok should post it so people know what they're doing to their children. But I really think a whole generation failed to raise their kids. And I think a lot of these same boomer Republicans that are complaining are the same ones to fail their kid. If your, you know, daughter went off to school conservative and came back a liberal, you failed as a parent. You failed to realize what was going on. You failed to realize how the system works. You failed to control your daughter from the satanic media, and you lost her. And putting on a Trump hat and screaming MAGA for the vaccine salesman guy who printed $6 trillion in 2020 isn't going to bring back capitalism. So I find it to be like this little circus where, when I was growing up as a millennial, they used to say, you millennials are so spoiled. And it's semi-true to an extent, but it's like, you raised us. And now you have this whole generation of kids who lack fathers, who lack parents. You know, everybody's taking pharmacy drugs. Everybody's sucking down canola oil and high fructose corn syrup, getting fat. They have no role models in their parents. You know, their parents got lazy and complacent in America and just thought, me, 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 me. You know, some of their parents were psychotic liberals. A lot of them were just lazy conservatives who think they deserve freedom because they sit on the couch and watch Sean Hannity with a CIA pin on. So, you know, just as much as I think these kids are lost and need to be called out before they hurt children and themselves, you know, I really feel like they were completely let down by men in this country. And the role models that they have, not just on the liberal side, but also on the Republican side, are pathetic. How many, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is like supposed to be Our Lady, and she's running around telling everybody to get the Trump vaccine. It's like you got a bunch of, you know, Republican people who just suck up donor money and just yell at these kids that they themselves failed to raise. And, you know, at a certain point, men need to be men again. Fathers need to be fathers again. Christians need to be Christians again. And in the West, we're losing because we deserve to lose because we've gotten so complacent and lazy. And I think, you know, being strong again is important because these kids are just straight up lost. And when you're that young or however old that person is, you know, it's like they didn't learn this on themselves. They got let down by their family, their father, their media. And, you know, we definitely have to turn it around. But it's absolutely necessary to call out, no question. It's just like, you know, it just makes me feel sick knowing that their parents and society misled them to get that far deranged.
No, you're absolutely correct. And I want to talk about this more because we've gone full circle. And I always talk about it, it's like the arc. We're back to like 2015 again, where people are Nazis and the economy is in a bad position and we need somebody to get us out of the situation. And then it gets crazy and then there might be riots. They're predicting riots, food riots. And then it's just like, it's a cyclical idea. And it honestly just makes me sick to my stomach. I get nauseous sometimes. I genuinely do. I know maybe you're out there, you're pregnant. Maybe you're, you know, traveling and you're trying to watch this in the car. Don't do that. Hopefully you're listening again, audio only. And you just find like, hey, I don't know how to get rid of this. Now, there are obviously pharmaceutical ways to get rid of nausea, but you got to figure out maybe a natural one, something that's not going to insert stuff into your body. Do you know that 1 out of 3 Americans regularly do suffer from nausea? And so you're not alone. Every time I watch CNBC or CNN, I honestly get nauseous myself. And so you got to check out Relief Band. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. Now, if you wonder how this works, and it genuinely does, guys, so many of you guys buy this and you enjoy it. That's why we keep bringing it out, because it's a 100% drug-free, non-drowsy way to provide natural relief. So basically, what it stimulates a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Kind of even the way, like, you know, analgesics work, where they kind of block the signal, except this doesn't use drugs, which is really cool. Then it blocks a signal to your brain, is sending to your stomach, telling you that you're sick. It's like the name says, it legitimately is a band you wear on your wrist to give you relief from nausea, and you change the intensity depending on how you are feeling to make it stronger or weaker. It's that simple. Plus, Relief Band, like I said, is not pharmaceutical. It's all natural, and the relief has zero side effects. So many of you guys have gotten this for people, and it's so cool. They just released their newest model, Relief Band Sport. Obviously, if you still, that's important. Sport is waterproof, has an extended battery life, and can even attach to your Apple or Android watch. Actually great for if you're feeling nauseous, you're doing sports out in the day. So if you're finally taking that summer trip or whatever you're doing, you're just getting nauseous, I've got good news. Right now, you can join the over 100,000 Relief Band users with an exclusive offer just for my slightly offensive audience. If you go to reliefband.com, use promo code offensive. That's R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com. Use promo code OFFENSIVE, O-F-F-E-N-S-I-V-E. You'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee. Remember, it's better to have a Relief Band and not need it than to need it and not have it at all. Go to Relief Band, R-E-L-I-E-F-B-A-N-D.com. Use promo code OFFENSIVE for 20% off plus free shipping. Honestly, check it out today. It's so good. Anomaly, I'm going to play this video. I want to get your guys' take on this. I meant the full circle thing. If you can get a split with me and Anomaly on there, because he knows this. It's like you kind of want to tell people sometimes that you're sick, you're depressed, and you're tired, and your answer is not that you need pharmaceuticals and a power bar that helps you to burn, you know, pill that helps you to burn fat. You just need to start eating some salads, center yourself spiritually, find who you are on the inside, and, you know, begin to create and add to the world and find purpose rather than, you know, expecting all your problems to be solved by just, like, some sort of a pill. Like you're being killed literally by what you're bringing in, whether it's through media, whether it's through food. Like that's what's depressing you. And the solution isn't going to those same people and asking them, how do I fix the problem they created?
Fair. Yeah. I mean, a lot of the food in America is illegal in other countries, like certain dough conditioners, certain food dyes, certain quality of meat and milk. So I'm not one of these like food people that says you got to eat this and go keto for a month. It's like if we just had basic normal food in this country that was legal in Japan and Europe, then we would be a lot healthier. But our country's the number one pharma capital of the world. We're the pill capital of the world. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson. You know, our country has been number one lobbyist in Washington on both sides, Big Pharma. They're lobbying both parties. So I think our country's just been swallowed up by Big Pharma and interests. And, you know, people don't get it because they'll fight over Biden and Trump, you know? And it's like, yeah, the one of them will clearly help you more than the other. Joe Biden's a demented, senile, like, you know, mental patient. But at the same time, the Republican Party constantly just like mislead. Oh, we're going to make America great again. Oops, we got stuck in a lockdown because of a virus. My bad. I'll come back in 4 years. Just give me money to my Save America Super PAC. Like, people just keep being like Charlie Brown with the football. And the real solution is to change yourself. And this is where I differ. You know, I see what's happening to the West. I see what's happening to America and Christians, and I totally agree. But the same people that tell everybody, like, don't play the victim if you're Black, don't play the victim, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, these are the same people that are constantly crying and playing the victim. They're like, oh, the election, this and that. And it's like, do you take no accountability? I'm not saying it was 100% fair, but your guy, did he do nothing wrong? No, he put all the best people in and didn't, you know, did everything right. No, it's like, you know, a lot of Christian conservatives love to tell other people not to play the victim, but they constantly cry when they're losing their country and everything. And it's like, the reason is because everybody just thinks they deserve freedom. You know, it's like, freedom isn't deserved, it's earned. Our ancestors used to deliver, you know, my grandfather started a trash business. He came from a foreign country. A lot of people came here with nothing and worked. And now we just sit on the couch watching Fox News and they think we deserve freedom because the left is so bad. No, you know, we don't, you know, until enough people start getting it together and actually raising their kids properly and doing something in their personal life, we don't deserve freedom just because we hate the left. Like, there's more to the game for sure. And one of the things is, like you said, the food industry, which nobody talks about because politicians are, it's like a globetrotter game. You know what I'm saying? You sit there and you watch and you play and there's only a certain extent that you can win. They're not trying to lower taxes. They're not trying to stop printing money. And certainly they're not trying to make our food better so millions of people don't get fat. They don't care about you.
Yeah, I think we have this article here. If we can bring this up, Josiah, we'll go back to the videos in a second. This study on junk food. It is weird that you know, everyone's like, oh, they're going to take my gun. I will blow the head off of those IRS agents when they come through my door trying to take my family. It's like, bro, don't be so worried about IRS agents. Also remember, you're most likely to die from your own choices before the government's going to kill you. And the choices are there because the government allowed them. So technically the government's still killing you, but also remember that the information is available today. So you don't have to fall in line with this. There was a study USA Today said about junk food. Two new studies from France and Spain, both published Wednesday in the British Medical Journal, show that consuming convenient junk food has been linked to increased heart disease and early death. It's a really worrisome trend. Dr. Aaron Mikos, the Associate Director of Preventative Cardiology at Johns Hopkins University, told USA Today, as food has become more industrialized and globalized, diets have transitioned from where everyone has to sit down as a family and eat freshly made food into food that is highly palatable, easy to eat, easy to prepare. Mikos was not involved in the study. The findings follow a study published later last year that links ultra-processed food to cancer. And so it's like, it's absolutely insane, Aldo, where you're coming in this position to where people are like, they're not just killing us through, you know, taking away our spiritual life. Bobert, I think it was Bobert who was here, Lauren Bobert, who said, it is funny how they say we don't need God, but then they wait to introduce God till you're in prison. Like, that's when they start introducing God back again. Like, it's like, why are we starting in prison? Why don't we start earlier in life? With the junk food, it is an interesting thing too, that it's like, why is health and introduced? Like, it's always like someone's in their 20s and they finally get healthy, and it's weight losses for someone in their 40s. And they want you to cumulatively add all the destruction onto your body before they market health to you. And it's something to think about later in life. Meanwhile, like, I think cancer is genuinely mostly caused by environment, even though there are some natural causes.
Well, it's also weird too. Anytime you hear about these new food trends or about these things, you know, these articles about healthy diets, it's all very intuitive stuff. Like, hey, maybe you should cut down on processed foods and seed oils and, you know, eat more red meat, you know, like your natural state should be. But the FDA is definitely one of those three-letter agencies that's not serving us, that's actually hurting us. You know, growing up, I've been going to the farmer's market ever since I was born. And it got to a point where the guy selling milk there was unable to sell us raw milk because the FDA said unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk, that could be dangerous to the consumer. But then they sell us the same crap that's high in sugar, high in fructose corn syrup, like Anomaly was saying. So it doesn't really add up. You know, they want to tell us what's good for us over here, but then they don't let us make our own decisions when it really does come to our health. But I do really like what Anomaly was saying, you know, about these people that claim, you know, talk about individuality, but then complain and whine all the time about their situation in life. And I see a lot of people that view politics as like, you know, entertainment industry for people who don't watch sports. You know, they're so consumed with what that politician said and, you know, who responded and the drama between this and that. like everything in their life depends on it, and, you know, hinges on this new bill and this new election, you know, who was elected and this is going to affect me. And then you look at them and you just have to ask, you know, when's the last time you went to church, man? When's the last time you went to the gym? How's your diet? Have you talked to your kids today? How about your family? And, you know, I see so many people that are consumed with politics, that are, you know, dependent on every little nitpicky thing, that they waste their time on that when it really could be going into, you know, actually real things in their life. Like I said, going to church, going to the gym, taking care of your health, all these things that if they did, they would probably care a lot less about this, like I said, entertainment industry of politics, you know, wasting their time. Right. Rather than getting back to what really matters.
Yeah, Nama, you're real. What's interesting is that you're somebody who've been pretty consistent even before seed oils became like a timeline thing. You know, like, and it's like, I feel like it's like my timeline is just like Trump's raid and don't eat seed oils. It's basically all it is. But you've always had the message of, like, even your hat, it's harmless. It's God bless. That's your merch, right? If people want to get the hat, where can they get that?
Right. Dreamrare.com. Appreciate it. And it's made in the United States too. You can see, sorry, it's because my hair's long, but it's got an American flag. It's made in the USA. I wanted to say, I mean, Aldo spot on with that, with taxes, right? Obviously the IRS, 87,000 guns, like, that just sounds bad. I agree with conservatives, but here's the real question. In 2016 to 2018, when Republicans had all the branches and the executive branch, you know, what did they do? What agency did they downsize? You know, that's all the Republicans do, is they just react and then just make money off it or make a big scene off it. But my question is this, and I know I agree with conservatives that we shouldn't add more IRS agents, but Karl Marx wrote, I have the Communist Manifesto here. He said he wanted a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. He wrote this at a time where income tax didn't exist in America. It started at a 3% flat tax. They took it away, and they never introduced state tax until the 1900s. So if you would have told Karl Marx that, you know, the rich are getting taxed 10% and the poor are getting taxed 5%, he would have considered that like a communist style tax. Right now we have the Democratic Party taxing the rich like 40%. You know, the Trump era taxing them 37%, and the lower class is getting taxed 10%, which would have been seen as robbery even to the highest, you know, degree of rich people back in the day. So we're getting scammed, and the big political circus is just a joke, because, you know, all these Republicans do is just complain about what the left does. They get power, they print trillions of dollars. Donald Trump printed more money in 2020 than any president in modern history. They sign every omnibus bill, they fund your enemies, they bloat the government, and then they just run around the country fundraising when they lose. I'm starting to think it's a show. I know it's hard to do, to downsize the government, but I think we're getting scammed on the taxes. So the real story is not how many IRS agents they are. It's the fact that we're paying upwards of 38% taxes, which is just straight up robbery. And it's never going to stop until people realize we're getting absolutely robbed by the government. And then they take that money and then yell at us and call us names.
No, I mean, it's absolutely a show. But the other thing, Anomaly, that I think you will really hit on is like the priorities that the right has, and that, you know, they want to complain about these IRS taxes or about all these programs, but you need to prioritize like what actually matters. Like if our taxes are that high, where is it actually going to? Like the bubble that the US government is predicated on, and the money that we're spending, none of it is actually real. I mean, there's more people that aren't paying taxes nowadays that are, and it's all funded by debt, right? If you're gonna complain, like how can you complain about pronouns? Like, again, I think it's important that we talk about these pronouns and all this stuff in schools, but how can you complain about that when we have subsidized everything, all these big giant social programs? Last week, Eric Adams is literally putting tons of illegal immigrants into these nice big hotels in New York City. We have Greg Abbott, this so-called Republican conservative, who's shipping illegals further into our country. And so we have people that don't even pay taxes here, that shouldn't even be here, that are getting benefits from our government. And so, you know, the Republican Party is a complete joke. I will never consider myself a Republican or associate with them, because they're just as bad as the liberals, and they don't have their priorities straight, and it's all about getting money. It's insane, I think, that we haven't reached a breaking point yet. Like, how long can this be sustainable for?
It's not really sustainable. And I want to play a video here that kind of brings in the mental illness. I think we know the reason why they're trying to dumb us down, and it's because we're more easily controlled. And unless you're like day one into the red pill, then you should probably already understand that. But I think it's more malicious than that. I believe in the demonic, and I believe in the satanic. And I think it's also partly of the enjoyment of the suffering of humanity. And there's a constancy of even with wickedness or evil people where they like to see people suffer. And I think it's not enough that some of these elites or these people succeed. It's not enough that they just rape our taxes. It's not enough that they plunder our land. They sell us out. It's that we need to be sick, dumb, and sexually confused in the process. So there has to be this sort of demented understanding. And I think it's a demonic way on humanity to constantly increase as much suffering as possible and to continue to do that. And obviously the reason that even happens is not because someone's like, I want to increase suffering. It's because they have a moral problem. And let's say they love money, because money's not evil. Money's good, but the love of money's evil. So they love money over, you know, let's say finding a cure for something. So they don't want to find a cure. Now you go, wow, there's a problem with humanity. That's the problem. He loved money so much he didn't find the cure. When you're forgetting, that's not the most evil thing that was happening. So what, he didn't find the cure because he wanted the money for the treatment. Remember, these companies are not just holding back the cures for your diseases, they're actually causing them. That's the more evil part. It's one thing for a man to love money enough to keep you from being healed. It's another thing for people to love money so much that they're literally going to kill you so they can profit. And this is quite common. Unfortunately, we do know that alcohol kills. We do know that cigarettes kill. But food is, like, I believe, the number one killer in terms of heart disease. But the mental problems, this person, we've come back full circle. We have the whole pronoun debate, and now we're using hers pronouns, which is apparently stands for person, where people are having to remind themselves that they're still people. They're that confused, they're that sick, and they're that beaten down that they don't even know that they're people anymore, and so they have to remind you. It's really crazy. Let's play this video, video number two.
Let's talk about the pronouns hers, which are neo-pronouns that anyone of any gender can use to affirm and express their identities. Hers pronouns are based off the word person, and they're basically pronounced in the same way. Let's practice with an example. If I were talking about someone who uses hers pronouns, I might say, as soon as her introduced herself, I knew we'd be friends. Her energy is radiant, and I cannot wait to see her again.
Take that off. Okay. That doesn't even make sense. We're all people. You're per person. That you just say you're a person. We all are. Thank you. You figured out basic of language. This stuff is nuts, right, Anomaly?
It's, that one was just laughable. I mean, it's just getting annoying. At a certain point, I think Tim Dillon made a funny joke one time. He happens to be gay, but he's just like, you know, at a certain point, it's just not productive. You know, to go through this with your waiter, it's like, who cares? What do you want to order? Like, these people are so into themselves that they think the whole world revolves around them. At the end of the day, if someone, you know, misgenders me or something, you know what I'm saying? It's not, it's like egotistical to just like be like, you need to bow down to everything I think. It's like, get over yourself. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these people are not happy. You know, it's sad because I don't think any of this stuff causes happiness. I think they're like broken inside. And the further they buy into these illusions of, you know, thousands of names to call and just inventing things, it's like they're playing Dungeons and Dragons with their gender. And, you know, it's like eventually it's going to catch up to them and they're going to be like 35 and, you know, childless and depressed. And they're going to be like, wait, hopefully, you know, and hopefully someone could get through to them before then. I don't
see
this. My name
is Elijah. He, him, Demogorgon, you know, like, it really is true though. Like I think you make the point, and I have always a very simple idea. If you care about things like pronouns, you're doing life incorrectly. And I rarely will tell someone that you're doing life wrong, because I, God knows, I am not, don't know how to live life very well. But I will say, foundationally, there are more important things in life than that. And if that's where your focus is, you've really got to do some internal searching and probably get off TikTok and go outside, eat a Kit Kat.
It's literally a lack of efficiency, like Anomaly said, and it's absolutely egotistical and narcissist. You know, I've been to a lot of these drag shows to report, not for fun, but
he was in them.
No, but seriously, it's like I go to these drag shows, and they're not even good at lip syncing or dancing. It's like they rehearsed it once, they put on all these clothes, the makeup's not very well. They're not good at dancing. Like, at least when you go to a musical or some acrobat thing, it's like, damn, like, they're really flexible. Or, man, they practiced their lines for a long time. They did an hour-long show. They knew all their lines. They're hitting those high notes. Go to these drag shows, and it's like a mediocre, you know, quarter-long musical. It's like, damn, that wasn't even impressive. Like, at least if you're going to do that, you know, practice a little longer. Do something that'll wow me. But no, it's, they think so highly of themselves that everybody should be watching me do this shitty version of, you know, Mamma Mia or whatever. But I think a lot of it comes from these people nowadays, they get their self-worth and they derive their identity from being gay. They derive their identity from these pop culture things, when we know the only identity that you can have is in Christ, is in the Lord and Christianity. But sadly nowadays, that's very rare. And people are looking for other ways to identify themselves.
Did either of you guys see Sandman, by the way, real fast? Anomaly, did you see that on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Do you know that I watched the whole series. It's really good. I talked about this on a live stream. Every character in the movie or the show is either gay, bisexual, transgender, and if they're straight, they're interracial. The black people are the heroes. The white people are the child abusers, the murderers, and the killers. And it's this, and 1920s Britain, apparently, all the aristocrats were black. And it's like just such a convolution of reality that it's like it's even seeped into our art, to where you're like, and they didn't even put the transgender in costume. And I go, I started laughing on this. Ready? So the first episode, I go, where's the transgender? Shows up on episode 5. Then I go, oh, but we haven't had a drag show yet. Wait till episode 7. You'll get a drag show. It has nothing to do with the show. There's just this drag show that it's a scene of just a drag queen singing, and it's not even a spoiler. It didn't even have to do with the show. It's just like they hit the quotas of like mental illness quota of like we have to put a drag show in because this is what the people want. It really ruined the show. I'm not going to lie.
Well, dude, every time go ahead, Anomaly. Oh, God.
No, oh, no, I was going to say real quick, I do have something funny to say, but yeah, I don't even watch TV and movies anymore. I just write the whole thing off as like a rainbow flag. But I found this article because what you were saying about going to the bath or going to the drag show, like when I was joking, like, oh, sure, you're going for the reporting. This is The Advocate. It says Dr. Fauci here. It says Dr. Fauci visited gay bathhouses and bars during HIV. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of NIAID, has revealed he spent time in gay bathhouses and bars during the height of the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. You know, he kept going to bathhouses and gay bars, and he was like, yeah, I'm studying AIDS. Like,
doing research, like Anomaly.
He's like, it's like, how many times do you have to go to the bathhouse, Dr. Fauci? He's like, it's my 1,000th time. I'm really close to finding a cure. They're like, but why is your towel off? And why, you know, why is Queen's bicycle race playing? And he's like, listen, okay. It reminded me of that.
I'm just here to study the origins. I'm trying to figure out how to get it. 1,000 test subjects in, we haven't even got it yet.
He's doing the hard work that nobody else will do, Elijah. He's going in there, getting the facts.
He's, you know what? That's why we have greyhounds for that, right? With the, do you see the Lancet study? The gay couple that their greyhound got monkeypox on its anus.
It's actually funny, Anomaly. I heard recently that he's actually doing house calls for AIDS patients too now. He's still at work.
I mean, listen, if the dog gets monkeypox, then it's time to start investigating. You know, that's all I'm saying.
They're raping the dogs. That's why I wrote that. And so, and I just like, I want to know that too. I'm like, when children start getting monkeypox, it's like nobody that's like non-gay that's just like 19 is getting it. But it's like kids and dogs. That's not a good example, because they're probably, you're like the vulnerable ones that can't fight back are suddenly also getting it. That's not a good.
It's worth an investigation.
Yeah, I think it's warranted. I think it warrants that too for those specific couples or people. Yeah,
it's like, wow, like this is why the Bible is so great. It covers every base, and I didn't realize until now. I was like, you know, the Bible says do not, you know, indulge in bestiality. Why would they need to say that? Isn't like nobody would do that. And then it's like dog gets monkeypox. I'm like, oh my God, they must have not gotten the memo.
Poor Max, yeah. You know, like he just wanted a bone, not a boner. Like, poor guy.
Fido.
Oh, man. Poor Now you know why Fido ran away. Now we know why.
You know, for the sake of Elijah's YouTube channel, make sure you talk to the experts, the same bug-eyed experts that eyes are drooping on the floor like AOC out of a cartoon that tell you that the vaccine's going to stop you from getting and spreading the virus. You know, listen to those same people who told you that like a year and a half ago on Rachel Maddow. They'll let you know where monkeypox comes from in dogs, because you know we the peasants are just speculating. But I'm just saying the CDC should come with some notebooks and start investigating the dog case, you know, because we all have a little suspicion. Let's just put it that way.
I want to ask Anomaly real quick. Like, you know, all of this, what we were talking about is people deriving their identity from things that aren't in Christ. And, you know, it's like I have plenty of gay friends, and the common denominator with all of them is that they are people that I like to hang out with that happen to be gay, right? They don't make it their identity. And I think it's the same thing, right? If what they're claiming is that it's just your sexuality, you're just born with it, right? Just like your skin color. Well, I don't like people that derive their identity from being black or being white. Like, if that is your identity, things that are just inherent in you, we can't be friends. That's such a boring thing. Like, so what do you think this is a result of, anomaly? Like, why are people, you know, deriving their identity from these inherent traits in them? Like, what's the point?
I've come to the conclusion that the worst people of every, like, LGBT, Black, White, Asian, Jewish, Christian, like, the worst people of every group that complain are the ones that complain the most. And the coolest people of every group don't play the victim that much. Like, you know, there's, like, Tim Dillon is gay, but he doesn't even talk about it that much. He does well, and he's funny. You know, the most annoying gay person is the one that identifies by it. And that goes for almost every group, including Sean King, who, you know, allegedly, reportedly is the race that he says he is, you know, according to him and science.
He's a very tanned white man.
Yeah. I think it's just like a human sort of psychology thing where if you're a victor, you know, this is like the classic conservative argument. If you're like, hey, I'm going to go over every obstacle and I'm going to make it in this world because God gave me the opportunity to be special. People like Shaquille O'Neal, he's huge. He's Black. People love Shaquille O'Neal. He's a nice guy. He likes cops. He has a blast. It's because his whole mindset is, he doesn't have the victim mindset. He's a nice guy and everybody likes him for it. You get what you put out in this world, the law of attraction. So the worst people are constantly starting their own battles. And that's why I find the left and the right, it's like they attract each other like a magnet. Mm-hmm. And people just fight Kathy Griffin on Twitter. And I'm not going to lie, it is entertaining and it's worth a joke here or there. But I find that, you know, the angriest people of every group, I think they're really just angry at themselves in the mirror, and they're fighting the version of them in another group, where it's like Colin Kaepernick's worst enemy is a white person who thinks about white people as he thinks about Black people, even though he's half white and was raised by white people. It's like, right. You know, he literally couldn't stand somebody that was 1/8 as race-based as he is. If you're going to be that race-based, then why would you get so mad at another group? Like, I don't care about, you know, none of this stuff really bothers me. Be who you want to be, but I'm not going to knock it.
I'm with you. I'm going to say this, guys. This is a really big thing. If you go to my screen here, Gay Tupac, real fast, GT, this is so cool because there's a movie that I helped co-produce that I thought was really, really, really awesome. It's called Uncle Tom 2. And if you don't know the phrase Uncle Tom, it's like a racial epithet. But the original one was about how Black people can be right-wing conservative. But this new one is not really just about Black people. It's one of the most insane movies. I'm really happy to have helped on this project. It's coming out, I think, on August 26th. It premieres. Please pre-order this with my code Elijah. I got them to give me a code to give you guys 30% off if you order this. But this is about how the Marxists infiltrated the Black community and destroyed them just when they were emerging, and then how they used the Black community sort of as a template for what they plan to do to the world and to the United States. And break it down. This is a good friend of mine, Justin Malone, is the creator of this film, and Chad, who stars in it. But it'll bring you to tears. When I saw the final product, when I saw all the work that went in and the scoring and everything, this just took a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of time, and it'll honestly red pill people, and they don't know it's not even a political movie. It's a cultural commentary. So it doesn't matter if you're left wing or you're right wing. Go to UncleTom.com and use promo code Elijah. Pre-order this for a stream or for DVD. Buy a copy. You're not going to want to miss it. You're going to want to watch it. We'll talk about it after when it actually premieres. But it's so freaking good. UncleTom.com. Use my name, Elijah. Get 30% off. This isn't even an ad. This is just, I wanted to get you guys this film as soon as possible because it'll really change your understanding of everything we were talking about. You can take it off the screen. On that note, I do want to bring this up. This happened here where the attack, you know, doesn't stop, where people are just blatantly, you know, not being held accountable. There is this this person that is a pedophile. I want to get the context real fast. You know, remember, like I said, you're not allowed to criticize somebody, but you can literally advocate for illegal activity with children. A licensed counselor and sex therapist advocates for minor attracted persons, which is this fake word of non-offending pedophiles. Pedophilia to me is an act. It's not a sexuality. And, you know, you need to, if you're a pedophile, you're not a MAP. You need to be arrested if you're sexualizing children or abusing them. She says that they are vilified and marginalized and shouldn't be referred to as pedophiles. Similar to what Hunter Avalon was making. He had to delete his tweet saying that he messed up by saying that we should destigmatize pedophilia, which I cannot believe he said that. It's so crazy. Let's watch this video here.
Hi, folks. My name is Miranda. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And today I want to talk about minor attracted persons. And I want to talk about minor attracted persons because they are probably the most vilified population of folks in our culture. Good. And most folks are making incorrect assumptions about them without actually knowing much about them. And those assumptions create harm for an already marginalized population. You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons, sometimes abbreviated to MAPS, instead of the more commonly used term pedophile. And I'm doing this because the term pedophile has moved from being a diagnostic label to being a judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at.
It is an insult. It shouldn't be hurtful. It should be helpful. It's called an indicator, and we call people things just like we call a spider, so you don't accidentally say, hey, could you grab me a lollipop? And then you come back with a spider. We have different words, so we know what to stay away from and what's good. And being into children is not good, and it does require help, but obviously normalizing this as being something that's non-offending is just, to me, creating a slippery slope to telling people that, yeah, there is some normalization to being sexually attracted to prepubescent children. There is nothing normal about being sexually attracted to people who don't even have the cognitive or physical or biological capability to understand sexuality. You, my friend, are in the head if that's what you're into or you're trying to normalize.
Elijah, did you know that murderers are vilified in America? That's vilified. Murderers. Can you believe it? We should be destigmatizing murder.
Drunk driving is so overrated. You know what I mean? It's called driving.
Drunk drivers are vilified.
It's called driving video game mode, okay?
No, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, they say, though, that sin that only impacts the sinner, that should be met with compassion, right? Like, if somebody's addicted to drugs and is an addict or things, I can have compassion for that. But I cannot have compassion for sin that is putting the young, the vulnerable, and the, you know, the innocent in harm's way. Pedophiles, they are going after literally the most innocent in our society. And these people are saying that we should have compassion for them because what? They had a bad childhood, or, you know, they bad things happened to them. Like, no, you know, listen, if bad things happen to you, if you had a bad childhood, I can have compassion for that. But as soon as you go and touch kids, you're getting what's coming to you. And, you know, I think it needs to be a lot worse than just jail.
Anomaly.
I mean, I guess she said she was a registered sex coach. If anybody goes to her for sexual advice, I mean, you already lost the game before it started. So have a little bit, you know, read a Yelp review or have a little bit better taste. But, you know, on that note, it just makes me more Christian and really respect the Bible more when they talk about giving yourself over to a reprobate mind. And, you know, I think the issue with the left and why they're becoming so evil from a psychological perspective is everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has flaws. Everybody has sins. But I think a righteous person identifies those and tries to have some sort of discipline. If you don't identify your sins, then you're going to be more evil than the man who understands them and is trying to get away from them. If you identify as a sin and you say, I am the sin, that's what I am. That's who I am. And if you try to tell me otherwise, it's bad. You become very, very evil. It's like certain Christians, when they make mistakes, they crack me up, because when I make mistakes, I'll be like, yeah, like I'm wrong, not the Bible. You know, if I'm gambling and the Bible says not, I'm wrong, not the, but like some Christians are like, I'm like, maybe I just don't believe that part of the Bible. It's there for a reason. It might be tough. It's like a coach telling you to work out 3 times a day. You might not want to hear it, but that's what's going to make you an athlete and to be a great person. Nobody's perfect, but these people, why they're becoming so evil is they're not just not rejecting sin. They're not just accepting it. They're identifying as it completely. And when you open, it's like a door. You know what I'm saying? You got to close the door. It's like eating Cheetos and you eat more. These people just go more. The Christian pastors were right. You got to close that door. Now that it's open, I'm not surprised that they're normalizing pedophilia. And I'm sure if they haven't already, they're going to normalize bestiality. And it's all going to become open because it's not just the fact that they're not perfect, but they identify as all their sins. They revel in it and they don't want to hear the truth. And they try to censor the truth with big government. It's so wicked. And you got to pray for these people. But I mean, a registered sex coach saying that like what the, like, it's not surprising, but it's definitely not
crazy.
Good.
Yeah, no, I mean, Anomaly, you definitely have to pray for these people. They're broken. They're hurt. They're just broken inside. So we do need to pray. But one, I guess, good thing that I have found, you know, I went to LA for the Pride protests, or for the Pride parade, I should say.
Bathhouses, drag shows, oh God. Pride parades. You're a busy guy.
Hey, listen, God sends his soldiers. He sends a light into the dark. And yeah, I was definitely in the
where
dark,
were you putting your
dark
spear?
Places.
That's what we want to know.
But, you know, I did ask people at the Pride parade in LA about minor attracted people, and I couldn't find one that that supported it. So at least that was good on the ground. People rejecting minor attracted persons.
No, it is good.
Right. I mean, it's still a fringe idea, I think, in that group.
Yeah, and we could get more into this. Yeah. Obviously, though, I want to say Anomaly and I, last time we saw each other was at a conference in Las Vegas, and he is cracking up. He is a really good MC. If anyone ever needs to hire him to speak or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know why my hair was like swooped up, and he was like, he got like the gay surfer haircut or like gay wave or something. I'm laughing so hard.
I think I just had talked to the
the log cabins.
I almost said the bathhouse or something. No, the log cabins. I just talked to them, so I made a log cabin joke or something with you. I had to, because I know they're good sports. They like a good gay joke, and I can't help myself. Dude,
they love it. I love it when Bryson messaged me. No, I know you were cracking me up because you asked such good questions. And I'm saying it was so funny because the log cabin thing makes me laugh so hard because, first of all, this Anomaly is actually really funny, as you can tell from this. But it also cracked me up because, he had just got done, emceeing for, the gay Republicans or something like that. But I also was, at the previous conference in that we saw each other in Palm Springs. I remember Bryson texting me. He's like, bro, you're keynoting for the log cabin event. And I was like, what? I was like, bro, I'm not doing
By
that.
By the way, Anomaly, I met you the first time in Tampa a couple weeks ago. How come I didn't get any verses? I'm going to need you to throw down next time I see you.
I don't know. We were with Alex Stein. He should have dropped a beatbox or something. We could have got a freestyle. But to the log cabin, I don't know if that debate's online or if they got the footage, but I asked some really introspective questions because I asked them beforehand. They were like, ask whatever, no, nothing barred. And I had some real philosophical questions because, I see both sides of the argument, and I wanted to challenge them respectfully. And I think it came out great. But yeah, dude, we'll have to hang out again, and we'll drop a freestyle.
Are you going to be in Miami?
Can't wait.
Are you going to be in Miami, Anomaly?
It's not official yet, but I should be. I was itching my nose and you caught me. I was trying to be off camera.
No, it's cool. Before we close out, Anomaly, where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Other than, by the way, if you're listening only and you're a blind viewer, you can click all the links in the description. They're in the YouTube video and they're everywhere where you can find him. But if you're listening and you just want to find your work, your music, what are you up to and where can they follow you?
I'll just say two things to keep it simple. Dream Rare on Instagram, DREAMRARE, Dream Rare, all one word, and DreamRareLinks.com. I have a link tree like an OnlyFans model, but I don't do that. It's strictly Christian content here. But honestly, sometimes late at night I get a little not wild in that way. I'm not talking like Fauci bathhouse wild. I'm talking just like I might drop a few curses every now and then, but I apologize. So DreamRareLinks.com, and you can find all my links to podcast, music, YouTube, Instagram, all that stuff. TikTok, if you're into dances. I'm just kidding. I don't dance. On TikTok, I do dance at the bar. Not the gay bar. No, not the bathhouse. Not the bathhouse. No. I'm there for research.
That was only in the 80s. Aldo, where can they find you and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Aldo Bottazzoni. And I will also be at the Texas Youth Summit in Houston next month. So if you're in the Texas area and want to drive down to Houston, you can see me there.
And just a reminder, our Blaze Sox, we're almost done. August 22nd. If you want to kick leftism where it hurts and get Blaze Media conservative socks today, this is copy, man. Featuring Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, Glenn Beck, and more. You're going to love them. Go to BlazeSox.com. BlazeSox.com and get them before they're gone. They're so funny. You got to get a pair, get a spare. Blaze TV subscribers get an extra treat. Use promo code BlazeSub for 20% off your purchase as well. But you got to use your email associated with your Blaze account and you get 20% off. And the code is only available to BlazeSox.com. Use the code BlazeSub right there. That's pretty awesome. And so make sure you use it BlazeSub. I just laugh because it's like, dude, you got to get a pair and a spare. I have so many of them and they're cool. I think I actually have. Right side, right here?
He's lying. He doesn't wear socks. He goes barefoot. It's disgusting.
He didn't even cut his toenails today. He just got the dogs out. He didn't even cut his toenails, dude.
Behind the dogs desk, are out.
I don't know. Look, we've gotten rid of all the socks.
He's probably wearing some like bathing suit or something. He gets out of here and he goes to some spa. Okay, he's got shoes on.
I got shoes on. It's true. The bathhouse, okay. I already showered. I'm going good. Fair enough. Thanks so much to my guest, Anomaly. Remember to follow him, and to Aldo Bottazzoni, and to the entire crew here. My name is Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host here at Slightly Offensive, the best war show on Blaze TV. Have a great rest of the week, as always, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.